please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing, the Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.
Good morning, campers! Pick up your coffee cup, make a cup of tea, pour yourself a beer. Hair of the dog, it's the Francine Marie Show!
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Let's talk about something that's relevant to our community. You know, I try to bring you sunshine and roses every weekend, but all shows can't be like that. We've got to talk about the hard issues, and one of them is healthcare. Do you think healthcare is a human right? Well, our guest does. It's Dr. Sachs, Dr. Jessica Sachs. She's joining us this morning because she's got a little bit of experience, like 34 years of her experience as a family physician, practiced in Charlotte, half at a neighborhood health center before it closed, and another 17 years at another clinic. Good morning, Dr. Sachs.
Good morning. And my last 17 years were at San Pedro Point, and I just wanted to take the opportunity to give a shout out to any patients who were my patients that might be listening this morning. I miss you all.
I bet you do. It's like being a football player or a school teacher. You go in every single day, you make all these relationships that matter. And then, you know, we do have to retire every now and again. So thank you for your service, for what you do. When it comes to health care, did we know we had a problem with access to good health care before COVID, or are we just now realizing that?
Oh, we knew, or we should have known. COVID has done with health care like it's done with a lot of things, but especially with health care, is that, you know, if you think of health care as a garment, and then you think of COVID and you hold the garment up and COVID's like a light on it, it shows you all the holes in it and the holes are just getting bigger. And there have been problems with access to health care for everybody in this country for a long time, but they're particularly bad for African Americans. And I'm sorry to say that the COVID pandemic has just shown us how bad they are and has made them much worse. And I'd like to talk about that for a little bit because I think it's important for people to understand what's happening and why and what we really ought to do about it.
Okay.
So African Americans, as you might know, are much more likely to get COVID and they're much more likely to die from it. And there are lots of reasons for that. One of the reasons is just where they're likely to work if they're working. They're more likely to be in frontline jobs and not able to just go home and get in their cubby holes with their computers, but be out there serving the public. And I want to thank all of you essential workers who are out there doing that. But that's something that puts people at risk. African Americans are more likely to have lower incomes, and that puts people more at risk. And because they have lower incomes, they may live in situations that are more crowded, so it's harder to quarantine if they need to. They may be more likely to take public transportation and expose themselves to other people. They are more likely to have lower education, which may mean it's harder to understand what some of the health instructions are. They're more likely to live in communities that have pollution and environmental risk, and that puts them more at risk. And one of the things that people talk a lot about is the reason that they're at risk is because they're more likely to have underlying conditions like high blood pressure and heart disease and diabetes. I want to talk a little bit, too, about why that is. That is not because there's anything wrong with Black bodies that makes them just intrinsically more likely to have these things. If you look at why African Americans have more underlying conditions, it has to do with all the other things that we've talked about. Having less money, having less education, they are less likely to be insured. And that was a problem, of course, all the time, but it's a particular problem with COVID if you don't have insurance. But because they're less likely to be insured and because they have lower incomes, they may have been less likely to get health care, to get their conditions diagnosed early. But then even if they're diagnosed and they don't have the money to afford the care or the medications, their conditions are less likely to be controlled. And then another reason that African Americans have more underlying conditions that people have been looking at more in recent years is because of racism itself. So racism contributes to the other risks that I've talked to you about, like where people live and being poor. But it's also thought to contribute more directly to health conditions because of the stress that it causes. And so now that we see those things, I think it's really important for us to look at addressing them now that we know what they are.
So
even more obviously than we did before.
So who's going to bring that to light to the decision makers who can change that? Because you would think healthcare professionals as yourself, doctors, nurses, PAs, all those wonderful folks can kind of shift a system, but they really can't, can they?
No, you're right. The real way our system needs to be shifted is through our lawmakers. And so what I want to call on your audience to take into consideration is that who are the lawmakers responding to? Well, they respond to money, and that's part of our problem about where the money and lobbying gets fed. Ultimately, they have to have votes, and they need to respond to their constituents. And so people need to look at who they're electing, and then they need to tell the people that they've elected what we want in a healthcare system.
Right, because normally they tell us. Isn't that the case? Like, they tell us what it's going to be called. They tell us how it's going to be situated and how it's going to be stacked, how it's going to be rolled out. But what if we, as Americans, said, you know what? This is my issue. I need you to put that in there. I need you to create something. Is that impossible to do?
Well, it shouldn't be. That's the way our system is supposed to work. I mean, that's exactly what you say. We feel like they tell us what's happening, but really we need to tell them. So I'd like to say a little bit about what we can do here.
Definitely. So
first of all, I think that, you know, when you're talking about healthcare professionals and what we do and what we actually see, what I hope that people see is that our healthcare system, which we knew was flawed, has absolutely, totally failed us in this pandemic. And I just want to say it's done it in several ways. Most countries, like in Europe, most developed countries have done better in controlling the pandemic than we have. And they all have national systems that one way or another cover everybody. So the way that we have been failed by our system is one thing. It is just in not having a national system, we didn't have planning, you know, that could have, you know, all this craziness about tests and who has tests and who's developing a test and who has PPEs, which nobody even knew about personal protective equipment before, but now I think everybody knows what PPEs are, but who has masks, where to get them, where are they distributed? Well, if you have a national system, you can take care of all that. But also, one of the really important things is that with national systems, every single person has health care. Now, what do you want in a pandemic? You want everybody to have health care because you want all individuals to be able to take care of themselves, but also you want people who are sick to be identified right away and to be treated because you don't want them out spreading the disease. Instead, in the United States, we had millions of people who either didn't have insurance or even had insurance and were afraid of costs, and so they didn't go get needed health care. And of course, that was bad to them, that made them sick, but also they spread it to other people. And our system, our current system is based on profit. So the way our hospitals work is they work on things that give them profit, like doing elective surgeries, and they don't really have any incentive to like stock up supplies and prepare for emergencies like pandemics. And that's different from other countries that have national planning. So I think the first thing is that we need to be recognize that this system has absolutely failed, and that what we need to do is we need to move to what's called a single-payer system or a Medicare-for-all system where every single person would be covered. We could have national planning to deal with emergencies like pandemics, but also to be prepared for them. And because we wouldn't be dealing with insurance companies, we would actually save money. And just one thing I want to throw in, by the way, about our for-profit system, and another example of how I think we should all be able to see how it fails, is where the money is now. We all know that people are suffering. People don't have health insurance. People lost their health insurance with the pandemic because they lost their job. I mean, we had an employer base and people lost their jobs, and then they lost their health insurance. People don't have it. Hospitals are struggling. Some medical practices are closed because people didn't come in during the pandemic. So who's making money? Insurance companies are making money. UnitedHealthcare has the most profitable quarter in its whole history during the pandemic. I mean, what does that tell us? I think that tells us that our priorities are wrong and that we need to move toward a system where people don't profit over other people's misfortune.
That makes so much sense, and it's so true. If you're just now tuning in, our guest is Dr. Sachs. She is Dr. Sachs because she's been doing this for 35 years, doctor?
Well, I practiced for 34 years, and then there are the years since that I've been retired. But I've been lots of years I've put into this. And now what I do is that I work on these healthcare issues. I chair Healthcare Justice North Carolina, which is promoting Medicare for All, because what I want to do is see that everybody in this country has the kind of health care they need.
Right. Well, you know, okay, I'll just say this because I know I've got to let you go this morning. But when they talk about they give this healthcare a title, why not just call it healthcare, right? Why not just make it simple, but we have to put the whistles and bells with it so we could sell it? I don't know. And the lobbyists are on the other side knocking everything down that's good for, you know, the benefit of poor people having insurance. So you say that healthcare is a human right, but insurance companies don't believe that.
No, our system is based on people making profit out of healthcare. And no, they don't believe that it's the right. I mean, insurance is for people who can pay for it. The way our insurance system works now, as opposed to what I think we should have, insurance goes to people who can pay for it.
Right, right. Exactly. And I'm only going to pay a certain percentage of my employees a good salary, because I don't want all you guys living next door to me. I don't want all you guys to have the luxuries that I have. And, you know, some people have worked for these salaries and they deserve these salaries. But some of us have been working our tail off for all, you know, for the majority of our life. And it's not paid off for us. So I'll stop digressing there, Dr. Sachs. Anything else you could share?
Well,
with
I think you're right.
Okay.
I think you're right. I want to say I really think you're right about that. And I think that one good thing about the pandemic is the whole concept of essential workers that we've realized. I think people now realize how much we rely on the people who do the things like provide our food and deliver our food and are in our supermarket. And of course, people for healthcare workers, and that means not just doctors and nurses, but CNAs, aides, and who staff our nursing homes, and all the people who do environmental services, you know, and are cleaning up after the people with COVID. And I think that we become aware of how reliant we are on people doing those jobs. And what I would really hope is that translates into, okay, let's put our money where our mouth is. Let's appreciate those people a little more. Let's make sure all those people have a living wage, and let's make sure all those people have health care.
Right. You know, I chuckle sometimes when you hear them say, oh, we're going to give them $15 an hour. Well, really, you should be paying $35 an hour, $45 an hour, $65 an hour. That's a living wage for an essential worker, right? It allows them to have childcare when they need it. It allows them to go to the doctor when they can. It allows them to eat healthier food. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. Francine, I'm with you.
Okay, so I voice my opinion a lot, you know, but and I try to put the rubber to the road, but sometimes, you know, I'm handcuffed and I can't do it. What can listeners do right now as they're listening to this? And it's settling into their soul. It's like, this is so true. We got to change this. But we have politicians who promise the same darn promise every election.
Well, so since as you mentioned it, we have an election coming up. So one thing that people can do about the election is they can look at the candidates and look at what their candidates are saying about what they want to provide in healthcare. And does your candidate have a program that will cover everybody? Does your candidate think healthcare is a human right? You know, and look at those programs. One of the things I would say about the national programs is that there are people who support Medicare for All. It's not on a national platform, but there are people who support Medicare for All. And I'll talk about the name in a minute since you asked about that. But Medicare for All is the most comprehensive program. And it's the one that we want to get or have a candidate come closest to so that we can persuade them in the end to support it, because it's the only program that covers everyone and saves money and is comprehensive, and the coverage would be better than Medicare is now. All the other options that look like that are called public option and so on don't do that. Medicare for All can save lots of money because there would only be one payer, and we almost wouldn't have insurance companies. We wouldn't have insurance companies doing what they do now. That would be just a very minor role for them. But by getting rid of insurance companies, we could save lots of money that would enable us to cover more people and deliver more services. And by the way, when I say this, people are always worried about what's going to happen to the people who work for insurance companies, which is a couple of million people in this country. But there is allowance for that in both the bills. There would be retraining or helping people through job transitions. So we would take care of those people, which is, of course, much fewer than the number of people who've lost jobs in the last few months.
Right.
But in the long run, people should look for candidates who will support Medicare for All. That's something that they can do. And by the way, if you want more information about this, our website for Healthcare Justice North Carolina is healthcarejusticenc.org. And you can go and look and find out more about. Now, somewhat in the shorter run, there's some bills in Congress. Like there's the Healthcare Emergency Guarantee Act, which would actually provide coverage. It's coverage for everybody who's lost their job, but it's really, it would make sure everybody in the country is covered through the Medicare system if they're not covered through something else during the pandemic. And you can ask your congressperson or senator to support that. And I just want to say a word you question about why we call it Medicare for All. And the reason that we call it Medicare for All is because it really improves Medicare for All. But in general, people like the Medicare system. They're generally very happy to get on it. You know, some people can't wait until it's the only age that people can't wait to be. They can't wait to be 65 so that they can get on Medicare and have better coverage than they have now. And it's really less hassle than other insurances. So that's why the name Medicare is attached to this plan.
If you had a crystal ball, right, which we all wish we had, do you think Medicare for All will pop back up in conversations and come true?
I do think that Medicare for All will eventually be implemented. So this is a issue that we've been working on in the United States for actually over 100 years. There have been proposals over 100 years. Various they weren't all called Medicare for All, but they were for national health systems where everybody would be covered. And recently, one of the good things about the Affordable Care Act is that a change that it made in the population is that there are more people who think now the government is responsible for health care than used to think that. And so I think that'll be part of the transition, that people are realizing that they don't have to be left out on their own. They don't have to have employer-sponsored insurance that sort of seems great to them, though they may not be happy with the high deductibles, but they're kind of glad about until something happens like a pandemic and they lose their job, and then they get the double whammy that they've lost their income, but lo and behold, they've also lost the health insurance that they were relying on. So I think we will move toward that. There's a quote that is attributed to Winston Churchill. I'm not sure if he really said it, but that says that a nurse always do the right thing after they tried everything else. So yeah. I think that's where we are. I think we tried lots of things, and I think that we're going to find our way to doing the right thing.
Yeah, we have to. Yep. Dr. Sachs has been joining us this morning. She's been a physician. I'm just going to say you're a physician, have been for life, and you're continuing the journey because you're on the other side now. Healthcarejusticenc.org is where we can go online if we want to get involved. If there's any insurance companies listening right now, please have a heart for people. I know you're going to say to me, Francine, it's just business, but people are dying and this is getting real serious now since COVID came along. So I want to thank you. I want to thank Susan. I want to thank Donna for putting this interview together, and you're always welcome to come back, Dr. Sachs.
Well, your 1 hour public talk radio is up. We went over today. So I'll see you next weekend. Same time, same station. Until we meet, I want you to have a good week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us for the Francine Marie Show, where we address issues concerning you and your family. That's all for now. See you next week.
Please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing. The Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.